And thanks for being here this morning. I'm finishing off our series on humility. Who believes humility is important? I believe, especially in the city of Bloemfontein, there's so much pride, there's so much, you know, I, me, and myself. And I believe God just wants us to be humble as a church, amen, and humble as people. And I believe we can make a difference if we're humble. And please catch up. But the last couple of weeks, I'll just recap quickly for those of you who missed out. The first sermon 3 weeks ago at the camp was about 1 Peter 5 from verse 5 to 7. The Bible says we must clothe ourselves with humility. Just like you put on your clothes this morning, it's important that you clothe yourself with humility. So that was what the main focus was on the first sermon. Clothe yourself, put on, you can do it. You can do it. God has given you the power to clothe yourself and put on humility as a garment to serve. The second one was about Philippians 2. We looked at humility that Paul says was exactly in Christ Jesus. And humility needs to be in our motives, in our thoughts, and ultimately be an outflow of our actions. Philippians 2, 3 to 8. And the last week we talked about the humility of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we talked about how amazing Jesus was when the seven things he said, the last seven words on the cross or phrases on the cross were so powerful, and it demonstrated the humility of Jesus Christ in his last few hours of life before he died. And this morning I'm going to end off with Numbers chapter 12. What is the purpose of humility? Why humility? What is humility going to lead to? In my first sermon, I mentioned five things, the five benefits of humility. Number one, when we are humble, we are relieved from stress of trying to impress people. When you're humble, you don't have to try to impress and try to put a specific front forward. You can really just relax and don't try to impress it because it's stressful to try and impress. Secondly, it brings contentment. And I loved what Jan Pietri shared at the offering. That was powerful, wasn't it? There's a struggle sometimes between contentment and ambition, but contentment or humility brings contentment to the soul. I believe if we're humble, it brings contentment. We don't have to strive to do stuff in life. God doesn't want us to strive. And then number three, it increases the confidence in God. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. It opens the flow of God's grace and it brings promotion through God's ways. See, Jesus was the perfect example. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was perfectly humble, right? He was the perfect man. Perfect. He was God, but he was perfectly humble. He's our perfect example. And therefore, God highly exalted him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe this morning, friends, that God wants to raise you and me up. He really wants to raise you up. He wants to exalt you, not for you, but for him. He wants to increase the authority, the anointing, the influence in our lives. Do you believe that? Do you want that? We shouldn't be humble for the sake of the benefits, but I believe when we're humble, God wants to do something in our lives. God wants to increase our influence and our ability to make disciples and to let his kingdom come. Can I have an amen? So I believe God wants you to be humble, not just for the sake of being humble, but when you're humble, God wants to do something powerful in your life. And there was a word that came about a month ago. I think it was the week before the holidays, or it might have been even in the holidays, the school holidays. Someone came in here, totally a stranger, wasn't a part of our church, just came to visit and shared a word and said that God wants to say to this church, if this church can stand up, amazing things will happen. I think we still bowed down in here. We all knelt down on the floor and God gave the word through this guy. And obviously he didn't know who we were, where we came, like what we, you know, what our church is going through. But he said, God wants this church to stand up and he's going to do amazing things. But I believe we mustn't stand up in our own strength. We must humble ourselves and God will exalt us. God will start to raise us up. And when we stand up in his strength, in his authority, he's going to do awesome stuff. Amen. So I believe there's a reason why God wants us to be humble. And there's so many stories in the Bible of amazing men and women who are humble, but there's one story in Numbers chapter 12, which just hit me again. And it has the phrase in it where this guy who writes this told the people, or he wrote this, that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. So let's read Numbers chapter 12 together. It's about Moses. And there's a lot of stuff you can take out of this passage. There's a lot of different sermons and different angles that you can preach. But I want to preach specifically on the angle of humility and of Moses' life. So let's read together Moses chapter 12, Numbers chapter 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Some translations say a Cushite woman. So this woman wasn't necessarily, Zipporah was her name. She wasn't from Ethiopia, but Ethiopia bordered on Arabia. And so that's why it talks about the Ethiopian. It's not to say he married someone else. Some commentators say he got the other wife died and his first one he married again, but it's not the truth. It's just saying that this woman was not a Jewish woman. And so the Jews were obviously upset, and maybe Aaron and Miriam were a little bit upset that Moses had married this woman that wasn't purely Jewish. And I guess it was a sign of what was to come, that Jesus Christ didn't come just for the Jews. He came for the whole world. I mean, he came for the Gentiles too. The Jews do not like that. So that could have been a reason why Miriam and Aaron started to criticize and speak up against Moses. And so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And then it says this nice phrase here, and the Lord heard it. Don't you know that when someone criticizes you, the Lord hears it? You can rest in that when someone rises up against you, when someone isn't nice to you, the Lord hears it. And beware if you're someone that's speaking up against someone else, the Lord hears it. Tell someone next to you, the Lord hears everything. And then it says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Would you be able to write that? Remember, it's Moses writing this. Remember, we said in the first sermon, we said, hey, but if you say that you're humble, then aren't you a little bit proud? And if you don't say you're humble, well, then you're also proud. But yeah, we see Moses writing this in brackets. In my Bible, it's in brackets. I don't know if it's of less importance. But it's like trying to tell us something here. It's trying to say there's a situation where this man's humility is going to be tested. Wouldn't you agree? So it says Moses was the most humble man, or was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And there was only one man who came after Moses who was definitely more humble than Moses. And his name is our Savior Jesus. But Moses represented almost a pre-Christ, a type of Christ to come. He was very humble and he learned humility. Moses wasn't very humble at the start of his life. He learned it. But here's a challenge for Moses, because here it comes to how he's going to react and how humble is he really going to be. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out you three to the tabernacle of meeting. So yeah, there's a meeting with the CEO of the universe. Eh? Imagine being called to a meeting. This is not your boss. This is not your lecturer. This is not your dad calling a family meeting. This is the boss of the universe, God himself, saying, you three, who's spoken to your kids? Like, we've got three kids. You three, come here. It's time to talk. So yeah, the God of the universe is saying, you three, all of you, come. What's happening here? We need to have a family talk. And it says suddenly. Isn't that amazing? When God hears complaining, when God hears something he says, he's suddenly going to get involved and he says, come, we've got to speak. So they went out to the tabernacle of meeting, and the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud, and he stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. And then he says the following, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. And then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, please do not lay the sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. And so Moses cried out to the Lord saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. And then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. And so Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. If you look at this story, you'll realize that humility will many times be tested by those closest to you. I don't know if you've been tested by your family. Those closest to you may be speaking a little bit against you, maybe not agreeing with you. But humility is going to be tested when those closest to you maybe seem like they're not agreeing with you. They're turning against you. Humility is going to be tested in your life when you are criticized. Has anyone here never been criticized in your life? I'd love to have you pray for me. But you see, when you're criticized, when those closest to you seem to maybe turn against you, how are you going to react? And I believe that Moses shows us an example of absolute humility. He did not say anything. Can you believe that? He didn't say anything. I don't see anything recorded of how Moses reacted here, how he said, no, but I'm this, I'm called by the Lord, I'm chosen by the Lord. He didn't have to vindicate or defend himself in any way. But God heard and he saw everything. So I want to just share two things which I believe humility brings to our lives. When we are humble, it shows something, it proves something. And there's just two things that I want to talk about this morning, and that is, number one, Moses had confidence in his identity. And I believe God wants to establish in us such a confidence in our identity in him, not our identity as per se, but our identity in Christ. Because look here, God had established this in Moses. He says to him, my servant Moses. Twice in this passage, God says about Moses, he is my servant Moses. Moses didn't say that. Moses said, I'm the most humble man. Didn't say, I'm God's servant, I'm amazing, I'm awesome. He says, I'm the most humble man. But God said to Moses, he is my servant. And then he said another thing. He said, he is faithful in all my house. What is God saying about you this morning? Because God said he's not only a servant, he's my servant. That word my is so crucial. I own him. He belongs to me. He's mine. Do you belong to the Lord this morning? Are you God's chosen one this morning? Are you God's special person this morning? And not only does he say he's my servant, he says he's my servant. He's not just my friend. He's not just my strange or my what do you call it? Acquaintance. Or I don't just know about him. He's my servant. He's got a specific function here. But it's his identity. His identity isn't in serving. His identity is a servant. He doesn't serve. He's a servant. You see the difference? When you're a servant, you serve. It's not like you try to serve. You just serve. Moses was confident in his identity as a servant. Then he mentions his name. He says, he's Moses. I'm proud of him. And that's why God immediately stepped in. When people criticized Moses, he didn't have to step in. He didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to say a thing. God came and stepped in and says, what are you doing? You're talking to my servant here. Talking to my beloved. And Moses was confident in this. I believe Moses had a confidence in God's defense and God's vindication of him. And I want to ask you this morning, because I'm so challenged. I'm not always confident of you know, God's defense of me. Sometimes I have to defend myself. Sometimes I have to like, no, that wasn't the truth. You know, when someone speaks false against you and you have to say, but it's, and yes, sometimes we have to, you know, we've got to talk and we've got to also, we're not going to say nothing in terms of we've got to, if people ask us what was the truth, we must tell the truth. We can't tell a lie or say nothing, because saying nothing then agrees with what was said. But I believe Moses, yeah, was so confident in God's vindication of him. God came down and there was no chance to argue, yeah. They could have, Moses could have argued and they could have said, no, we don't see, you're not the servant of the Lord. God speaks through us as well. You're not the only one. Moses didn't say anything. But he allowed God to start to defend him. And that's what true humility does. Many times we try to defend ourselves, and when we defend ourselves, when we try to justify our own lives, we're actually undermining our confidence in God. And we say, okay, God, you don't have to do this. I'll do it. I'll defend myself. And when we defend ourselves, God can't move. He can't defend us. He waits for us to surrender and say, I will defend you. True humility knows who God is. And Moses knew who he was in God, and that God had his back. Where's Enzo? I love your, if you look at Enzo's WhatsApp, don't all look on the phone now. Some of you have seen Enzo's WhatsApp profile pic. It's two stick men, and the one guy is holding the other guy's back. Like, the one stick man doesn't have a thing, so he says, I got your back, you know, but he's holding his, so the one stick man looks like he's falling apart, and the other guy's got just a little, you know, so I got your back, you know. Don't know if he really had, in that, it doesn't look like he's really got his back. It looks like he's like trying to destroy the man. But look at that picture and know that God has got your back. Amen. And he's not holding your back. He's not like pulling you apart like the stick man picture. He's really got your back. Amen. God has got your back. Should have put it up here now because everyone's looking now. But God has got your back, and Moses had confidence in his identity that God had him. But guess what? He didn't start like this. Remember the start when God called Moses? Moses had 5,000 excuses. No, God, use someone else. And God is like, Moses, I'm going to use you. Just submit now. And eventually Moses submitted. But go read Exodus chapter 3, I think it is, at the burning bush. God encounters Moses encounters God, and Moses does not want to go for God. He wasn't very humble. In fact, God had to say to him, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. I want to speak to you, God. I mean, Moses, I want to speak to you, but take off your sandals. Moses wasn't very humble, but he learned humility, and he learned to grow. And he was very unsure. And this is near the end of Moses' life. This is where they're about to go into the promised land. Moses was really, had absolute authority. But it started with his intimacy. It started with his identity in Christ. And then it goes on. He doesn't only say, Moses is my servant. He's faithful in all my house. It's not something Moses had to do. Moses was a servant and he was faithful. That was his identity. It wasn't about what he did. He was faithful because he was humble, because he knew God. And it says that God spoke to him face to face. It talks about intimacy. Those of you unmarried, you'll get there, okay, to the intimacy part. The best intimacy is face to face. And you know, speak to married people, yeah? You need to really have intimacy, you need to have humility, and you need to have vulnerability. Okay, I'm just being honest here now. You can imagine what you want to. But when you said, now Hardis and Martel got married last night, it was awesome. They're now married. Yes, awesome. Praise the Lord. But you know that first night when you're married, you have to be real vulnerable in front of each other. You got to take all your clothes off. It's not a humiliating. It's a humble experience. It's a vulnerable experience. But if you really want to have intimacy, you've got to be humble first of all, and you've got to be vulnerable. And I mean, I've heard stories of some ladies. It's like, it's really awkward. They're like that, you know, you've got to switch all the lights off because this is awkward. You know, you've never taken your clothes off in front of another guy, and now it's like you've got to trust this guy like with your life. We'll have relationship talks in August, okay, for all the students. We're going to have lack of relationship talks, being real. But in order to have intimacy, you need to have humility, which leads to vulnerability, which leads to intimacy. You cannot have intimacy if you're not humble and if you're not vulnerable. And that's why Moses could speak to God face to face, because I guess Moses was real with God. Moses was like open. And God said, I can speak to you face to face. I speak to other people like in other ways. In visions and dreams and all this stuff, and that's good, it's not wrong. But I've got such an intimate relationship with Moses, I've got such a close relationship with this guy, that I speak to him face to face. Amen. I don't know about you, if you want God to be intimate with you, and if you want to be intimate with God, but it takes humility and it takes vulnerability and it takes honesty to hear from God and to let God be intimate with you face to face, not just a voice that you hear. Isn't this powerful? God didn't just speak in a voice to Moses. He spoke to him. He looked in his eye. When you look into someone's eye, there's an intense intimacy that starts to happen. And Moses and God wants to be like this with us. He wants us to have intimacy with Him, and it helps us to grow our confidence in His presence. Moses was confident in God's presence because he knew the heart of the Father. He knew God's heart. God's heart is a Father's heart. Amen. And friends, He wants that for us. Jesus Christ died for us that we can have confidence in our identity. And it leads to intimacy. It leads to us seeing the form of God. It says here that Moses saw the form of the Lord. God spoke to people in other ways, and it's awesome. When God speaks, that's awesome. But God wants to take us to a level of intimacy because of what Christ did on the cross. And that allowed Moses to be so confident in who he was in God. The second thing Moses was confident in this morning is that he was confident in what God had called him to do. God gave Moses incredible authority, wouldn't you agree? Even from the start of his life, he walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, Pharaoh, you better let the people of God go. I'm going to come to you. And he demonstrated God's power. He was simply a vessel. It wasn't about Moses, but God gave him this authority to lead the people out of slavery. He knew exactly what God had said. And if you look at this whole book of the first five, or Genesis, not Genesis, but the story of Moses, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, you look at the detail in this book. And some of us are like, this detail blows my mind. I'm going to go on to better things, you know. But look at the detail God gave to the Israelites through Moses. He must have known exactly what God had said. Isn't that so? Just read the start of all of these books, and you'll see then God spoke to Moses, and he said the following. Boom, boom, boom. He said exactly what Moses needed to know. That's an intense relationship. When you can know so much detail, you can know so much, you have confidence in God's instructions. And I believe God wants to bring us to a place where we're confident in God's instructions. And let me be honest as well. I'm not as confident. I hear God and like there's this thing and that thing. But we need to be confident. We need to say, God, when you speak, we know what you have said. It's not confusing. It's clear. This is what you must tell the people, Moses. And he told them, and the people didn't always obey, but it wasn't up to Moses. God had to bring the people back. And it must have been terribly frustrating for Moses when he knows what God has said and the people just don't want to see it and don't want to hear it. But Moses has confidence in God's instructions, even in the very little detail. But in this passage specifically, Moses has confidence in his ability to pray. Isn't that so? Moses doesn't criticize Miriam. He doesn't stand against her. He sees, oh my word, God has struck her with leprosy. And you know that leprosy was the worst leprosy? It was basically going to kill her. One commentator on this verse says the following. Says, leprosy was nothing short of a living death. Albert Barnes, one of the commentators of the Bible, says the following. Leprosy was nothing short of a living death, a poisoning of the springs, a corrupting of all the humors of life, a dissolution little by little of the whole body, so that one limb after another actually decayed and fell away. It's like cancer today, I guess. It kills you slowly. It's like a living death. And Miriam is struck with leprosy, and Moses can see this, and Aaron repents, and Aaron says, Moses, sorry, please don't strike me, or... And yeah, Moses doesn't say, look at, you deserve that. He serves you right. Suffer a little bit. Wouldn't many of us do that if someone criticizes us? But he had this anointing on him to pray, and immediately he prayed, and guess what? God answered his prayer and he healed her. She was healed of the leprosy, except God said, listen, yeah, if your father spits in your face, your father is, and you have the shame of your father, how much more shouldn't you have the shame of what you've done now? So be 7 days out the camp. Get out for 7 days. Your shame must, everyone must see. And then the people waited and they allowed her to do her 7 days, come back, and then they moved on. They respected God's ways. But God answers Moses' prayer. God was basically, his wrath was so against what Miriam and Aaron had done that he's like basically going to kill her. And Moses is like, please, Lord, don't do this. I don't know about you if you have confidence in that type of prayer life, but God answered Moses' prayer, healed her. I believe that's massive authority in the spirit. Don't you agree? He had massive authority in the Spirit. Moses had incredible authority. Why? Because of his confidence in his calling and his purpose. Moses' calling was to intercede. Not only to lead the people, but to stand in the gap. Then if you've heard the saying before, they say you must speak to God about people before you speak to people about God. And Moses didn't speak to the people first. He first heard from God. He spoke to God. He said, God, here I am. Here's your servant. Speak to me. I'm here as an intercessor. I'm here to stand in the gap to lead your people. And God is calling us to stand in the gap. And yesterday was amazing for me. I just so loved being on Naval Hill. I haven't prayed, you know, when we first came to Bloom, we heard that Naval Hill was like called the prayer mountain. Like that's, people have been praying in Naval Hill for the city and for the country for many years. And yeah, we come and you just sense there's a presence of the Lord. And it was so wonderful to be up on top there with so many other believers, like dressed in white. And I didn't have many white clothes. I wasn't well reflected of all dressing in white, but it was such a reflection. In fact, if you look on Facebook all over this nation yesterday, there were prayer meetings happening all over the place. Basically in every town and city, people came together to pray for South Africa. But it was so amazing to just experience that God is calling us as believers, not only as shofar, we're not more special, but as believers, God is calling us like Moses to intercede and stand in the gap for people. Amen. There's people with spiritual leprosy. There's people literally dying, people going to hell. And it's not like God has put them there. They've chosen to rebel. But I believe God wants to heal people. God wants to heal religious people. God wants to change hardened hearts in the city. And He's called us to be like Moses, to lead people out of slavery into the promised land. And to represent God to the people and the people to God. It's not only me as the pastor or the fivefold ministry. We are just here to equip the saints. The saints have been called. Guys, you and me, all of us have been called to represent God to the people and the people to God. And it's called intercession. Intercession isn't just a nice little prayer we pray. Intercession, you know, I was there. I just felt, you know, my presence there is pleasing to God. I don't have to pray. But yes, we were led in a few prayers and we did pray in little groups. But you know, your presence there is an intercessory presence. It's standing in the gap. You just come and be where God is being, is present and what God is doing. But I believe many times we lose our confidence in what God has called us to do. God called Moses. He gave him an anointing to fulfill his calling and his purpose in life. And I want to ask you this morning, what have you been called to do? Who are you in Christ? Because humility leads to that confidence in your identity, number one, and it leads to confidence in your calling. That you have a gift to give. You have something to give. You don't have to be quiet about who you are. Say to yourself and to your own soul, you know, I'm humble. Not the most humble man, but I'm humble in Christ. And humble yourself before Christ and then let Christ do stuff in your life. Let Him keep you quiet when you need to be keeping quiet. Let Him use you to speak when He says speak to the people. Lead the people. Tell the people. But Moses had this incredible confidence to know when to shut up and when to intercede. God didn't say to him, okay, Moses, intercede for Miriam now. He just said, Lord, please save her. He just had a lifestyle of intercession. He lived his life according to an intercessor and he had great, great authority. But the question is this morning, are you growing in humility or is there pride that is preventing the flow of God's Spirit in your life? Because humility will help the anointing to increase. Humility increases the flow of God's Spirit. You see, we're all called to number one, to pray. We are all as believers called to intercede. First of all, to pray for ourselves. That's why it's good to learn to pray in the Spirit. And I'm just sensing in May, after the band has come in the next few weeks, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to preach about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of His gifts is the gift of tongues, praying in tongues. You can pray for yourself. You can build yourself up on your most holy faith. When last did you pray for yourself? But in the Spirit, where you don't even know what to pray, you just pray to God. Just pray. But you need to intercede for other people. You pray for yourself so that you can be strong in the Lord, that you can be ready, have your full armor on, going for the Lord, and then you start need to intercede for other people. Pray where you go. Pray in work. Go to work and pray. Intercede for those who have leprosy, those who have been cast down, those who have been by sin and by shame and by the stuff of the world. Intercede for people. And then secondly, guys, we've all been called to lead. If you're a believer here this morning, you're a leader. Do you believe me? Why did God say, go and make disciples? Why did He say, go into all the world? Because He believes when we know Him, we're leaders. We might not be in the function of a leadership position. We might not be a pastor of a church or a cell group leader or a business leader. But I can tell you, leadership doesn't. I've been listening to leadership stuff this week, and I heard that leadership is not about your position. It's about a position you take up in the Spirit. Everyone can be a leader. In fact, many people influence organizations or churches from the bottom up. You know, you guys have incredible influence in this church. I'm definitely not the only one that, in even us as elders, we're not primarily called to influence this church. You guys are leaders. You can influence this church. Do you know how much responsibility that is? And do you know why church leadership is so challenging many times? Because it relies on trust. But if the church decides to go in a direction and not to follow, you know what? It's sometimes very difficult to lead the church in another direction. It's trust, and we rely on trust. But you're a leader. You can influence people in your small group. You can influence. Don't wait for yourself to be put in a position. Start to influence, but influence for Christ and be obedient to God. So we're called to pray, first of all. Then we're called to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not leading a person closer to Christ, then you're not leading. You're leading in another way, and you can. The devil is a good leader. He's leading a lot of people astray. But Christ has come to supersede his leadership. Christ has come to override his leadership. And hopefully people will realize the truth. Hitler was a great leader. You can have awesome leaders that are leading people astray. But I believe our leadership is like Moses' leadership. Lead people into a relationship with God. And sometimes the wrath of God will come, and you need to say, whoa, the fear of God needs to come into this place. Amen. But as long as we're leading people closer in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So those are the two things I believe all of us have been called to do in some way. Might not be in the same way as Moses. But I want you to ask the Lord, where can I lead, Lord? Where can I influence? Where can I make a difference? And you can use your gifts, your character, your talents as a specific platform to reach other people. If you're good at teaching, teach, lead people in Christ. If you're good at leading worship, lead worship. I love what's happening in our band. It's just amazing. They help, and Benny said it perfectly. He's just a facilitator. But we can lead ourselves into worship. But if you're good at music, join the band. You can help lead people. You can help facilitate people into the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. You can use your gifts, your talents. Maybe you're good at sport. Then the sports community needs influencers. The business community needs leaders. And you can start at the bottom. You can influence a whole company if you really have a passion for the Lord. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for a week or a year's time. Students, lead now. Lead in your res. Lead in different areas of life. But you've been called to be confident in the calling that God has on your life. And you know where it starts? With humility. When we humble ourselves, God is going to raise us up, and He's going to start to use us to do awesome stuff for His kingdom. In summary, before we close, the band can come forward so long before we pray. As humility grows, and we've done all these sermons on humility, and there's so much more, but I just want to leave this with you. As humility grows, so does your confidence in your identity, number one, your Christ, in other words, who Christ is in you, who you are in Christ, the oneness, the intimacy. You know, Christ in me, the hope of glory, it talks about intimacy. You in Christ, Christ in me, it's intimacy, it's Christ-likeness, your identity in who He is. And baptism is so powerful. If you haven't been baptized, I want to ask you, on the 12th of May, that's next Sunday, not the Sunday after the band, we're having a baptism service. Three people so far want to be baptized. You can join them to be baptized in water. It's incredible for your confidence in Christ. In who you are in Christ. Because that's what baptism says. You're identified with Jesus Christ. Your identity is a son of God. And you can have confidence in who you are in Christ. And secondly, when your humility grows, you have confidence in your calling and your purpose in life. And why is all this happening? So that the kingdom of God can advance on this earth. Guys, that is why we need to be humble, because God wants to advance His kingdom through us. And why does the kingdom many times not advance? Because it's about me. I'll do it, Lord. Don't worry. You don't have to do it. I'll do it, God. Or my life is just about I, me, and myself. And God says, no. Be like Moses. Humble yourself, and you can intercede for people. You can lead people. You can have God vindicate you because your confidence is so in Christ. You don't have to, you have to repent. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to stand around, oh Lord, who am I really? And I believe many people here this morning, you need to have your confidence restored in God. But it's going to start with bowing your knee and saying, Jesus, here I am. I repent of trying to save myself. I repent of trying to live this Christian life. Lord, I'm so dependent upon you. Help me to grow to a place where I can be like Moses, and God comes immediately. And when there's something against your life, God steps in and says, leave. All evil, go out of your life. Devil, leave this person's life. He has my servant. He has my son, my daughter. And then when you're in that place, you can actually fulfill your calling and start to pray, start to speak life, start to speak truth. Let the Lord use you for one reason, so that He can be glorified, that His kingdom can come.